So what's the next step? We have to take action on approving the framework or modifying it?
So, yes, ideally, if this committee is comfortable, I would appreciate it if we could get to a point where you're comfortable making a motion either to adopt the frameworks as they have been presented or with modifications so that we can submit those to the full board at your meeting on October 9th. Would also like, you know, with the framework, then if you adopt that, it's not just the indicators or the measures, but it is in fact those targets. We should walk away with a weighting for each of those as well, and then should have a discussion, if we can, about what that ultimate ending rating would mean to a charter holder in terms of renewal requirements for submission of materials, and or if they want to expand. Are there going to be certain final ratings where you would say, Deanna, don't ask them to submit anything to add grade levels and or to add a site because their performance level is where it should be, and if they could do it well with K through 5, they could probably do it just as well with 7 and 8 or 6, 7 and 8 or whatever, and so let's not get curriculum samples, let's not worry about that, let's let them go ahead and build a site. Is there an area where you want to say, hey, get some additional information so that we can feel comfortable about what they're providing us, and you know, we can make a decision based on the information that they provide in spite of what the overall rating is? And is there a level where you want to say, look, because of this, we don't want to see a request for an increase in an enrollment cap, or we don't want to see a request for additional grade levels because they're not performing at a certain rate? So some things to think about there.
This is my first meeting, so I apologize if this is a very pedestrian question, but you know, I'm a little concerned that you invited like 30 schools to come and only 5 showed up. Are the schools not paying attention to this? Or, you know, if we move forward with this today, or you know, have we given them ample time to comment on it? Or, you know, I'm good to move forward today, but it just concerns me that you had so few schools show up and respond to it. And in my opinion, it's they're bad if they don't want to, you know, show up and participate in it. But we usually have someone that comes in and complains to us at a later point because they didn't know about it. So can you help me understand?
Sure. So I guess, first of all, the meeting notices went out and they were told, hey, we're having this meeting within the next couple of days. So scheduling could have been a conflict for them. I did provide them an opportunity with their invite to let me know if they wanted to participate telephonically or in person. And so with the traditional schools, we had a mix. I did have one school when I was surprised that they didn't respond, had checked in, and they had said, oh, you know, I saw your letter and the inviting really said, hey, we're having the subcommittee is meeting on this date, but you're invited to participate in a focus group on this date. They had read to the first date, but hadn't gotten any further than that. So I had anticipated we'd have 50 people here today, thinking that they misread it but had today on their calendar, and so they would be here instead. I can't speak to, you know, in picking out the traditional schools for the 30 that were invited, it was across the state, it was a variety of grade level mixes and things. So I talked to Jake about the fact that we had a limited number of people participate, and he felt like we had made the effort and had provided the opportunity not only in focus groups but through this meeting today. We recently did a survey of our charter representatives, and they had said that, hey, you know, we don't always know when the subcommittee is meeting. And one of them suggested that we contact the association, and the association sends out their Wednesday mailer. This meeting has been advertised in that mailer for the last 2 weeks, in the last 2 Wednesdays. So I feel like we've made some opportunities for the stakeholders to participate.
No, it certainly sounds like it. So thank you for giving me that background. And so I'm surprised that it was something that would impact them so greatly that they wouldn't be here, more would not be here today.
Yeah, the only comment I would make is if you look historically at what we did the academics. I would say this group's a lot larger than what we saw in the past, to be honest with you. Yeah, I mean, Amy went through that process, and others did as well. When we were picking out our, I'll call it the T-score, if you want to, for lack of a better term, on where a doc would fall academically and picking those lines. And quite honestly, this group compared to those groups is larger. Now, I don't know what the invite list looked for those groups, but there is, it's a good turnout compared to them.
Okay.
And they are very busy people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess I recommend that we try to, you gave us a list of all the different things we needed to do, and I think they're kind of, they're indicated in these bullets under agenda item D, which is what we're on right now, right?
Right.
So, my suggestion is we just kind of work through each of those bullets and see what we can agree to. So the first is that whether there is agreement on the actual academic performance indicators themselves. And I take by that the different areas that we're measuring, whether we want to approve it as it stands, and then also the weighting of those different categories. So whether we agree on the framework and or whether we have any additional information we need or modifications we can make. So I'm happy to take any discussion on that.
I mean, based on the comments and based on the presentation, I'm supportive of the indicators as presented. We can get into a later discussion about weighting, but having what we heard in the support by some of the public, it seems like the indicator, I like what we have in the indicators. So I guess I'll make a motion that maybe semantically I don't have it all down on measures, you know, metrics, et cetera, but I would move that we approve the measures or the performance indicators as presented in the materials. And so I'll do that motion first, explain my motion, and then we can move through perhaps the weightings.
Do these motions need to reflect that we're presenting it to the larger board for approval, or do we just approve it here and then that means we're presenting it to the larger board?
Right, I could modify it. Yeah, I would make a motion that the indicators as listed would be those that we forward to the board for approval.
Do you want to include the weighting as it currently stands, and we can discuss that?
Yeah, at this point, I would agree on the indicators as listed, but I would. In this motion, I'm not making any recommendations on those weightings.
Okay.
So for clarification, the indicators in the four different areas, the measures would be the 1A, the 1B. So, Norm, are you including those as well? And then?
Yeah, I could. I'll modify that to include the measures. I like the measures. Quite honestly, I'm comfortable with the cutoffs as well. It's the weighting that I'd want to have further discussion on. So have the ability to pull up and talk about the weightings independently. Mm-hmm.
So it would be the indicators, the measures, as well as those targets for what's a meets, what's exceeds,
right.
What does not meet, and what, as we presented it.
Yeah, as presented, absolutely. I would take those forward to the board, the measures, the indicators, and the targets as well.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Can we do a voice vote, or do we need to do a roll call?
Do a voice vote.
Okay. All right, if there's no further discussion, I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes unanimously. So now let's discuss the weighting.
Sure. On the weighting set, the weighting set's listed for those schools that aren't our alternative or small, the charter weightings for both elementary and middle, as well as high school. I'm comfortable with what's presented and would move that forward to the board for approval. And I think this one adds up, by the way.
Yes.
Hang on, let's make sure it does.
Just the elementary and
it's
middle.
30, 50, 60, no, we're off five.
Where did you want
I would propose that go into the subgroup. So add, the subgroup should be listed as, for high school should be 15% as opposed to 10%.
And this is for just the traditional charter.
This is for traditional, correct. there a second to the motion, and then if there is, we can...
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
So my concern is the impact, and the fact that I don't know what the impact is, and then, but I also want to make sure that we, I feel like this is going to be, have to be something that we work with and can alter when we see what the impact ever is.
Yep.
I guess we need something that rolls up into some
right.
statement about a school, so that then we can give those schools autonomy or use it to do remediation with those.
Right.
So I agree we can't just not have it aggregate. And I'm okay with giving this a try the way it is.
Right. I mean, knowing that you have the ability to evaluate this, you need to start somewhere, my view, and that you have the ability to review it. And until we have some experience with it, I don't have anything to grab onto to say, hey, this should be X and
I
should be Y.
I agree.
Well, is there an evaluation period then? Should we say in a year from now we'll maybe look back at this, or what's a... Or is it until someone starts screaming about it?
It certainly. I think that as we look at things, and there, as I said, when the question was asked, was how will this roll out with Park? You know, the idea was that it will transition well, but it would be foolish to say we won't want to consider revisiting this. And I think what is important for determination now is that we have a statute that says we need to have an academic framework, and we need to have that set level of expectation, and that we will continue even later this month with renewal applications and an evaluation of those applications, and so we need to have something now to move forward. And again, the next part of the conversation is who met and what do they get and who didn't meet and mm-hmm. what happens then. And I think it's important then that the what happens then, if a charter holder determines that, hey, your weighting is skewed and presents information that shows if you had done it this way, this is where we would have been, or here, a better thing would be, here's all the academic data that supports that we're doing things well, you know, in spite of what your formula says. That would be the additional information that would be provided to you to be able to consider when making that renewal decision.
Yep. I would, can I try to amend your
absolutely
your weighting? So I would attempt to amend Mr. Butler's motion by throwing 10% in differently.
Or 5.
Yeah. Well, I want to reduce this to 5. Percent, just like over here, reduce this to 5, and raise this to 30. So that proficiency and growth are equal to high school level.
Well, you're
moving the comparisons back down to 10 then, right?
Yeah, because you're and talking about that. So if you raise it to 30, and if you have your the statewide composite as well as individual subgroups,
yeah.
You could potentially be at 30 plus that 45, 55, am I right? You could potentially be at 55 compared to 30. Because I think what...
55, I see what you're saying.
See, I think what could happen is if you have no individual subgroup, it's going to add that... You could make the case to say instead of spreading that out over others, it's a proficiency component, it ought to be... It should remain in proficiency, and that 10% gets added to the other proficiencies.
Okay, so how about this? I'll meet you halfway. So this is 15, so 15, 15, 20, and increase graduation rate to 15, and decrease state accountability to 5.
I'm sorry, Peter, would you say that?
So 15, 5, 15, 15, 20, 15, 15.
Should we do it on here to illustrate? That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. Exciting. This is for traditional schools, right?
Traditional.
Okay. Good. All right. We're talking about traditional schools. All right.
Do you mind saying so? It was 15, and then 5.
and then 15 under individual subgroups, and then that should add up to 100.
Yeah, so that's 60, 80. Yeah, that does.
And then I'm kind of looking forward to the idea that this 15% at some point would be spread within here once we have better. Right now it's all in graduation rate, but eventually we'd be.
I would amend my motion to reflect that the table is presented.
Is there a second on the amended motion?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Small school, potentially. Great, so do we have a particular motion on small schools that we have to pass?
I think.
They're waiting.
The waiting, and I guess as it was presented in your materials, the small schools continue to be a three-year pooled average, and we can continue to do the three-year pooled average as that's what was proposed to you, and that's where we are with what the A through F letter grade is too at this point in time. I don't.
Deborah, is that what you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the small school issue?
Correct.
Okay, so do you want to deal with
Let's go the waiting.
Alternative waiting first?
Oh, we'll do the alternative, and we'll go with small school.
Okay.
All right. So on alternative, I would propose that we take to the board for the waiting, for the weights as presented, and that would be for elementary only, elementary and middle. And then for high school, I would recommend that the weightings be presented or taken to the board as presented by the Alternative Education Consortium. Which is the right of the split with a change of graduation rate moving from 15 with 5 going to increase academic persistence to 20. So it's as reflected in their chart. So we can make the change here.
So it would be the.
It'd be 30.
It'd be the
all right,
5.
Help me, Annie, makes me keep
it. Yeah, it would be
5 and 25.
Graduation rate would be 15 with academic persistence.
Right. So if we go back to this chart, it'd be 525. On high school, so it'd be the fourth column.
Right. So that's
okay, right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yep.
Would be
5. 25 there. 30 for proficiency.
Actually, it's 20, and then
it's 20.
I apologize. It is 20 and 10.
You're going down. Okay.
Yep.
20. We're getting rid of.
So that's 25 there.
You said 30?
20 there. 20 and 10. Actually, I think that growth improvement ought to be 25, sorry. So the one above where you have it is?
Sorry, here?
Yeah, so that should be 5.
Should be 5 at the top.
Okay. Next one's 25.
Oh, no.
We got to flip that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm at the top.
What's
the
measure should be 5.
Yeah, make that one 5.
Okay.
Next one is 25.
Measure 1B.
25.
25.
So
2A is 20.
It's 20.
Measure subgroup comparison.
It stays the same.
Okay. 10. Right.
State accountability is 5. Graduation rate is 15. And then persistence is 20. Amy, does that add up to 100?
Yes.
And I think it adds up to 100. Five, number 30, 50.
Yep.
30. Yep.
Okay.
is essentially based on the two focus groups. It's the focus group that was to the right with amendments. So I would propose the weightings as currently presented.
So that second column is
okay. It doesn't have anything to do in the the second row, the improvement one has nothing to do with the lowest 25%, right? It's improvement for anyone that doesn't, that's not proficient. Just so I understand it. Okay.
That's correct, right?
The improvement is for any false mark below it or approaches a student that retests.
Okay. Second. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't second.
Can I just ask, so we're kind of like with the elementary school, is it so different from the elementary or the high school that it would be so out of whack 30-5 and, you know, in growth in that, or should we adjust?
I'm leaving it to the focus group, and I would imagine there were individuals from elementary schools as well, is that correct?
So from alternative elementary schools, I'm going to say Mary Fruit, yes, and I think that actually, and Mary may want to talk about this because my notes had 50 in there, but then for the growth and the reason for the difference is because when you have a high school, you only have 10th grade students, and the alternative schools, the percentage of their 10th grade students is far below what their 11th and 12th graders would be, which is why you have a higher level for the improvement for them, because it's really tackling it's covering a larger percentage of their population. With the elementary schools, their full academic year kids only, so they have them for the full year, you have a multiple grade range, and the actual improvement when you run the spring to spring test scores for the elementary school doesn't work out as a valid measure for improvement, so the growth percentiles make more sense.
Okay. And that'd be the second row of the third column would be a 20.
Here?
Yep.
What is it?
It's a 20 there.
Oh, here?
Yes.
This one.
No. As it's currently listed, that's a 30 and that's a 20.
Okay.
For elementary and middle, do you have a 1B? I thought that was for high schools only. The improvement for...
Showing a 1B now.
Oh,
is that column?
Right.
Is that column out of column?
Yeah, it does when it's 20 something.
Okay.
Because that 215s are 30 and it's a 20.
So I guess it depends on...
This 1B, the improvement for alternative schools is for high schools. So okay. The question is whether...
All right, so we're going to have to play with these percentages.
So I guess some thoughts, Mary, I was talking about the lowest 25. What, go back to the lowest 25? So for the elementary alternative schools, it wouldn't be based on improvement. It would be based on their lowest 25, just as with the traditionals.
Okay. Percentages, Mary? Okay. So...
Mary, do you have some thoughts on the percentages?
I think it's
really
looking at a little
more. Yeah, I'm relying on the fact that that they were vetted through the focus group, and I could see the vetting show up in high school, and it based on the fact that there's not a split that shows that there was agreement on what those weightings were did.
Well, that's not an accurate reflection of what actually happened. The consortium didn't have an opinion about the elementary schools, and we kind of went.
Well, it's comparable.
We're tired. It's been 7 hours. And
I mean, if you look at it, so you want, for alternative, you want academic persistence, right? So that differs from the traditional. And then the other factors, you want growth. I mean, you want them to grow the alternative. And your other lines are, you've got some comparable ratings to the traditional. Unless somebody felt really strongly about it, we're happy to entertain a change in the percentages.
I'm comfortable
okay.
if you're comfortable, I think we're good.
Okay, then I'll move, and then the 20% measures the lowest 25 is where we make the change, is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
That's correct.
That's my motion, is what we would take. We would take, as presented, for alternative schools, the weightings, we would present that to the full board with elementary, the 20% being for the lowest 25.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Moving on to the small school weighting, Deborah, do you have a couple of, if you could be brief, and any issues that you want to raise? We're on a quick time crunch, but if you take a look at that weighting and let us know your thoughts on it.
Sure. A couple of things in our discussion in the focus group. We were very glad to see the comparable schools piece. We thought that that was crucial for small schools especially. Brought up a discussion about the outliers and the impact that outliers can have. I'm not sure if we haven't gotten the answer to that yet, but I think that's something to be considered. When you have a small N and you have kids, whether they score at 100% efficiency or 20% and everyone else is in the center, it can really skew the results. And so I would ask you to consider that as you look at the leads. The final thing I just want to say real quick is I sat in the back of the room and chuckled, Dr. Sanderson, when you mentioned at the levels, the difference between the ADA score and meeting the standard and here. Because I offered a little bit of caution to Deanna about that and that may come up. And I would say to the board that I would really consider that. I really believe that we all need to strive for that exceeding, that excelling, that A, 100%. I think we all have to be there. But when you're talking about the high stakes of renewal, my concern would be that as a board, you might want to consider the fact that AEE and the State Board for Charter Schools would be saying something different in this case. Those are my suggestions, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you guys.
Okay, so we need to apply 5% again on the right. So you want to do that graduation rate?
Yeah, and reduce the state label down to 5.
Okay, now you got another 5.
Right, so then graduation rate goes to 15. And subgroup comparison goes to 15.
Or just to be consistent
with what we did with the traditional.
Would they have a lot of population in the subgroup comparison?
So here's the question for you. If the subgroup populations get tricky, and Deborah brought up the question about the outliers. She did raise that question in our focus group. I did talk to 3 different statisticians about how, hey, is there a way to address this? Really, unless you knock off the bottom and the top, you know, and to compensate for that. And then when you do that, you're already talking about really small numbers anyway, so you knock those off, and then you may not have an end that you can report. So there was some concern with that. There's less of a concern about the outliers if you use a 3-year pool average. And so that may be the reason to leave that in there now. And then again, I think that while whatever you do, If depending upon what you do next with what it means to be at the certain rating levels, that it would allow them to provide additional information that may support or tell a different story.
Yeah, so I mean, I support it the way it is up here. I mean, essentially it's saying, look, the small schools are going to treat exactly the same as the traditional schools, except it's a 3-year pool average. Right, and the weights are the same now.
Okay.
Makes sense to me.
Is that okay?
Perfect.
I just worry with the subgroup being the same. The small schools are 40 students. I just don't know how you could
take it back to 10. You just have to throw it someplace. I mean, where you want to capture it is if you had a sped population, and is that messing up your score and can you separate that subgroup to drive a better score? Because overall, it could drop your score.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. But you still have 3 years of data even in
right.
that one.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you would.
Yeah.
Your school of 40 turns into a school of 120.
Yeah. You could do 17.5. Yeah.
13.2. Yeah. I'm fine. That's just my one, from what I know, statistics and all of that. Yeah. Well, my only concern with that, but I don't know necessarily how to fix it either. Yeah. So
Deanna, it is a three-year average as we have listed in the documents.
As it is provided in your documents.
Okay. All right.
For the small schools, I'm going to double check. I'm sorry, I'd like to have a comment.
Yeah.
Yes. One thing that you probably want to consider, which was brought up briefly, is what happens if you do not have something that's measurable. So
right.
if you have inferred a very real instance that would happen often with small schools in the subgroup, as we're talking about. So then you may not have analysis for 2C, meaning that you have 15% that needs to be redistributed.
Right.
You could redistribute, it's been discussed, you could redistribute that within the indicator level.
Yeah.
Or within the entire framework evenly. We would recommend that you just redistribute that within the indicator level, meaning that those 15% percentage points get redistributed to 2A and 2B.
Yeah.
That's because then that preserves the philosophical weight that you have on proficiency versus growth.
Right. I would propose that we take that to the whole board, that in any of those columns, that percentage, if there's no actual result for that percentage, that it's redistributed to the indicator, so a proficiency would go to proficiency and a growth would go to a growth.
So then the question about the three-year pool for the small school, going back to that, is as noted in the framework, it's a pooled three-year median used for small schools to be consistent with the A through F letter grade. So that's what we would move forward and continue to do.
Yeah, absent further comment about the weightings for the small schools, I would recommend we take those weightings to the full board for approval.
And if we get input from them in the next week and a half, we can certainly bring that forward to the
right.
board as well.
That would be great.
Is there a second on Mr. Butler's motion?
Second.
Any further discussion?
All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Moving now to bullet points, let's just do two. So two identifies what are the performance levels that, when we meet them, would waive a charter holder from submitting certain documents related to expansion requests, such as adding grade levels, adding sites, and replication. So my two cents on this is that if we go to those performance levels,
right,
that seems to me like we've established a standard of a pretty good standard here, where I mean anybody who meets is definitely a good school,
right?
And so I would just throwing out there as an idea, I would want to waive as many of these requirements and remove impediments for expansion, waive requirements for proving academic results for any school that met or exceeded on our new framework.
Okay.
And could I ask, would that be just a 1 year of a MEES? Like currently for your replication and expansion, you say you're at a certain, you meet a certain set of conditions for three years, so that you don't have a school that moves into a MEES and then fell back out or was only there for a year and hadn't shown that they could sustain that. So would you be looking at meeting for two or more years and or
yeah,
having met previously but now exceeding as some conditions that you would want to set forth for that?
Yeah, it's maybe, my intuition is like meet or exceed for the last 2 years or something.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But I think it's important that we've defined a new standard that I think is, it's higher than our minimum standard before.
Right, it is.
So I think that this new standard, I wouldn't want just the schools that are in exceeds for us to remove all of these impediments and waive bureaucratic rules. I'd like to lower the cutoff for that.
Yeah, you're lowering the meets, the term meets, but that the meets requirement is higher under this framework, my view.
So in my mind, again, this would apply to any charter school, and we might have to flush out things with like charter management organizations, ESPs, EMOs, and so on, but and how to roll them up together and consider their schools together. But that we're waiving adding grade levels, so that would just be a quick. What's the difference in terminology between what has to come to the board and what they have to submit to? I mean, I'm imagining a situation where a school says we want to add grade levels. You reach the standard, you meet or exceed. Just to prove to us that you've got the building capacity to do so.
Okay. Right. So amendments require board consideration. Notifications are things where if they meet criteria, then I approve them and they don't come to you at all.
Okay.
So for adding grade levels, those would all come to you, and they generally come to you on a consent agenda. But what I would anticipate would be happening, and you know, we can flesh this out and give you real firm language for the board, but would be that in order to add grade levels, they now submit curriculum samples and those kinds of things. What I think I heard you say is if they've been at meets or exceeds for 2 years, the part that we're waiving is not that the board takes the action to consider it as part of the consent agenda, but that they don't have to submit curriculum samples and the other materials that would be required for that.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
So that's the kind of the direction that I was going, and would think that for each of these, you know, we could flesh this out some more and design those kinds of things once we knew what it was you were looking for.
Yeah, so we don't need a motion necessarily that would address each of these, but a motion maybe the will of the committee would be to reduce as much as possible in these areas for schools to meet and exceed.
I will revise the framework, the guidance document to reflect that so that shows up for the full board when you
okay.
consider it, that detail would be more clearly defined there.
So do we need any motion on that?
No, I'm comfortable with that one.
And that's just, by the way, that's just my opinion.
No, I'm fully supportive of this.
I mean, that's where everyone, yeah.
The next item is determination of information required for submission when conditions for waivers are not met for renewal, reviews, and expansion.
I mean, it would be applicable to where the deficit is, right? And so I've heard in the cases, let's say, perhaps growth, or the growth isn't reflected, that they, in other situations where schools come for renewal, that they submit that documentation that supports their proposition that they are growing, or they've got it, or whatever has an issue with their population. Now, we've seen it in the past.
Right, so whereas now with the renewal, if they don't meet the board's criteria, they submit a performance management plan.
Right.
This is where we would be shifting away from that performance management plan, but requiring that those schools that don't meet the expectations as they've been provided in the performance framework would be provided the opportunity to share additional information about what their past efforts have been. And just as we did with the financial framework, where we would direct them to focus their efforts on those areas where they were deficient, we would encourage them to focus their efforts on those areas where they would be deficient in this framework, and have them provide you information for your consideration as to what past efforts they've made to improve. I would anticipate that you will have a broad spectrum. You will have those who have been proactive in all of these areas and will have a lot of information that they can share with you about their subgroups and the different, the proficiency versus their growth and their bottom 25 and what they have done and what they continue to do moving forward. And you will, you may have those who would say that they hadn't thought about it before, but we'll provide you with a plan moving forward. And I think at that point in time, it'll be up to you to determine whether or not they're actually providing you with what the statute requires, which is they've either met the expectations or they have a plan that has demonstrated that, that they're improving. I'm looking at my legal counsel.
The language is chicken. Meet or make sufficient progress toward the academic performance expectations set forth in the framework.
Or any improvement plans. So the, or any improvement plans wouldn't necessarily be the plan that the development of a PMP as we've done it in our past context, but any improvement plan that they have initiated, that they've already done, that they've collected data on, that they could present to you to say, hey, we're being proactive in all of these areas. Didn't have time to wordsmith all of
that. Yeah, but that would be, but it would be up to them to prove to us that.
Correct. So if you're comfortable with that,
yep.
I don't necessarily need a motion. I will incorporate that into the guidance document as well.
Next is information to be included in staff reports prepared when board considers requests, for example, renewal expansion from charter holders that fail to meet the expectations set forth in the academic framework, or when board considers whether to take disciplinary action against a charter holder.
So
like this whole thing, I mean, just give us the whole thing.
And so, you know, for this first year, I still have to have some discussions about whether or not, how much of this we could go back and develop from prior years so that you can see what it would have been for those measures in the past. But I know that we can get you the current year, the whatever we're going to call that, let's call it a dashboard for conversations today, which would show you each of the different measures within the each of the indicators. It would show, I would propose that we provide it to you in the color code for what you have, but rather than it be the falls below, does not meet, meets or exceeds in the letter, but the actual percentages there, that then you could compare back to the framework to see where they fell. But ultimately you'd be looking at that overall rating. But you would be able to see as we develop more years of this information, we would have up to 5 years of lines for that school. So it wouldn't just be their current year, but we'd have their prior years as well. And that information would then replace your growth charts. You wouldn't have your status and your growth percent anymore.
Great. I like
it.
The charts are going away.
Charts are going away. So if you're comfortable with that, again, I can incorporate that into this.
You're going to keep talking about the upper right-hand quadrant.
I will. It's a pro to come up with that, right?
So then based on that discussion, then the next thing that we would also do that, I don't know what we'll do in the next week, but we'll also revise your renewal application instructions so that they reflect this conversation as well, and we can take those to the board so that we can roll out this whole process with those schools that are going to be eligible for renewal or notified of their eligibility by the end of the month.
Great.
Hey, look at you.
Close. Excellent. Anything else, Deanna, or?
Hold on a second. Oh, so the question about the overall rating and as Larry and Katie presented it with the formula for the 25, 50, 75, 100 points and then the cut scores for the rating, just want clarification that with the adoption of the frameworks, you are comfortable with those
those cuts.
Yeah, absent any other information until we have experience, I would propose we go with the charts as presented. Or recommend to the board.
Fantastic, okay. I consider that incorporated into your other motion. I just wanted to make sure we got that clarified.
Yeah. Thank you. If there's nothing else, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys, for this is a huge step in the right direction for Arizona, so I appreciate it.
Thank you to everyone that was here today.